So thanks for everyone for coming. We're going to start a new Yahrzeit Shiur tonight, which is called Smichus Geula L'Tefila. The Rav presents here at the beginning of the Shiur about five different kashes, so we'll try to present those kashes. It's a very long Shiur and complicated. We're going to try to connect it to the previous Shiur a little bit, but that'll take a while, not tonight. And the first set of questions really revolve around a sugya in Brachos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara records a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in terms of Smichus Geula L'Tefila. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Smichus Geula L'Tefila applies not just to Tefila Shel Shachris, but to Tefila Shel Arvis as well. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on the other hand, there's no din of Smichus Geula Tefila Shel Arvis. In fact, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we're going to daven Ma'ariv only. We're going to go daven Ma'ariv before we say Kriyat Shema. That's called Tefilos Be'emtza Tiknum. It means that Shachris starts Kriyat Shema and then Tefila, and then Ma'ariv starts Tefila and then Kriyat Shema. I guess you'd call it ABBA. And according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if Ma'ariv is kicked off with Tefillah and then followed by Kriyat Shema, then there's no possibility of Smichus Geula with Tefillah. And the Gemara gives two different explanations for this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One way of learning it is that they're arguing about a pasuk, and the other way is to assume they're arguing about a svara. In terms of the Svara, they seem to be debating whether or not there is such a concept as Geula at night, even though in truth we do say Baruch Ato Hashem Gal Yisrael even at night, but that's not the real Geula, because Geula refers to Geulas Mitzrayim. And when did the Jews exit, when did they leave Mitzrayim? Does anybody know? When did the Jewish people actually leave Mitzrayim? When did the exodus take place? I guess you didn't see that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. It was by day. It was Bietzem Ayom Hazeh. So really what happened at night was not the Geula per se, that was the termination of their state of slavery, of Avdus, but they only actually left Mitzrayim in the day. So that we say that Geula Ma'al Yisah is Ad Safra, didn't happen until the morning, but nevertheless there was a Geula at night, and Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Geula at night is significant enough to set up the halacha of Smichus Geula L'Tefila. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on the other hand, says, according to this approach, that since the Iker Geula is by day, therefore the Gol Yisrael of the night is secondary, and it doesn't require Smichus Geula L'Tefila. And we'll see a whole slew of questions that the Rav is about to ask. But first, just to complete the sugya in Brachos, the Gemara goes on to suggest that maybe the Machlokas, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, revolves around a Pasuk. And the question is, how to learn B'Shavcha Uvkumecha? The pasuk b'shavuch of kumecha sets up a hekesh between shchiva and kima, between going to sleep at night and waking up in the morning. What does this hekesh teach me? So Rabbi Yochanan thinks it teaches me that in the same way that when you get up in the morning, you start with tefillah. I'm sorry, you start with kriyat shema and then you go to tefillah. So too at night, b'shchiva, the order is exactly identical, and you start with Kriyat Shema, and then you do Tefillah. So therefore you have Smichus Geula Tefillah. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says the Hekesh works in a totally different way. Just like in the morning, Kriyat Shema is the first thing you do when you get up, so too at night, Kriyat Shema should be the last thing you do before you go to sleep. That's called Samach L'Mitaso. So Samach L'Mitaso in the morning means as soon as you get up, and therefore Kriyat Shema comes first. Samach L'Mitaso at night, Bizman Shchiva, means after Tefillah, right before you go to sleep. Then the Gemara raises the following question. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a requirement of Smichus Geula Tefillah, even by Arvis, what do we do with Hashkivenu? I understand that Gal Yisrael is the first bracha after Kriyat Shema, but there's a second bracha after Kriyat Shema, which ends with the word Shomer Esam Yisrael La'ad. That bracha would wedge as a hefsek, and is an interruption between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah. So in the morning it works out perfectly. We say Baruch Ato Hashem Gal Yisrael at the end of Kriyat Shema, and then immediately we stand Shmon Esrei. So that's Smichus Geula Tefillah. But at night you have this hefsek in between of the bracha of Hashkivenu. So to resolve that question and defend Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara coins a very famous phrase that Ashkivenu is a Geula Arichta Dami. Once the Takana was made, that we add a second bracha after Kriyat Shema, namely Ashkivenu, that Ashkivenu becomes a Geula Arichta, as if to say it's somehow an extension of the bracha of Gal Yisrael, and it's swallowed up and it's one unit or one entity with Gal Yisrael. So the Rav asks a barrage of questions on this Gemara. Question number one, he first wants to prove that the Rishonim accept the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, and the requirement of Smichas Gula Tefillah applies not only by day, but even at night. And he quotes a Tosfos that quotes in turn of a Hag, and they all agree that we need Smichas Gula Tefillah at night. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchas Tefillah says, Afal Pisha Mavarech Ashkivenu Achar Gol Yisrael Eino Hefsek Ben Gula Tefillah. The Rambam basically paraphrases the Gemara that we just saw about Hashkivenu is a Gula Richta. Apparently the Rambam requires Smichas Gula Tefillah. And now the Rav asks his first question. If indeed we accept Rabbi Yochanan LaHalacha, so notice a major difference between Smichas Gula Tefillah in the morning and Smichas Gula Tefillah at night, other than Ashkivenu. Okay, the problem of Ashkivenu, the Gemara addresses head on, it's Kigula Richter Domi. But even after Ashkivenu, what comes next? In Eretz Yisrael, at least. I mean, Chutz Laaretz, we'll see, there's a different meaning. But what comes next after Ashkivenu? Kaddish. You have a Chatzi Kaddish. You don't find that in the morning after Shacharis, you know, you go straight from Gal Yisrael to Tefillah. So the Rav says, and I underline those words, why is Smichas Gula Tefillah different in the case of Arvis than it is in the case of Shacharis? In the morning we're going to create such a connection between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah that we won't even allow for the recitation of Kaddish. Whereas at night at Ma'ariv, there's going to be a Kaddish that, so to speak, wedges between Gula and Tefillah. And the Rav says that that's an old ancient minhag that goes back to the time of Abai and Rava, and we never heard of anyone who disagrees, and there's no like new chumrah that let's drop the Kaddish. We've never found such a thing. The Rambam in his Seder HaTfilah in Perek Tes Milchus Tefillah mentions that after he finishes Shema Omer Kaddish, the Rambam is very emphatic about it, that there must be a Kaddish after Kriyat Shema. And then, and only then, does he stand up to recite his Shmon Esrei. Now, the Rav's question is obvious. If, indeed, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, as all the Rishonim seem to do, and we require Smichus Gula Tefillah, even by Arvis, why do we have this Hefsek in the middle of Kaddish? And not only that, if we do have it, then let's be consistent, and let's apply it to Shacharis as well. Ella, the answer is we won't introduce a Kaddish between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah and Shacharis because we have Smichas Gula Tefillah. We don't want any interruptions. So why do we allow it at night?
And also, you can say Kaddish is a form of Gula. Although that would raise the question why I don't have it during the day.
Yeah. In the next question, Michael, the Rav doesn't even understand why Hashkivenu is considered Geula. Take a look at the second question he asks. There's nothing in Hashkivenu that touches on Geula. The theme or the formula of Hashkivenu has no mention or footnote of Geula in it. It's a personal request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us, to make sure that all our needs are taken care of. There's no mention, no hint of Geula. Why then is that Bracha of Hashkivenu defined as a Geula Richter? Now, if you ask me a Kaddish, I say with a Kal V'chomer, for sure it's not Geula Richter.
I find it easier to see in Kaddish. In Kaddish, we're talking about Smach Prokonemik, Rev Mishichay, you're talking about the next Geula. Kaddish, right. I can see a hint of Geula.
But again, the whole sugya is focused on this concept of Geula of Mitzrayim, because that's right, really, you're touching on a whole different question about the relationship between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill in Birchas Kriyat Shema, in the third parasha Kriyat Shema, and then the Brachos, and so Kriyat Shema and Birchas Kriyat Shema become one unit, one entity of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the culmination of that is Gal Yisrael. Where we thank Hashem for the past Geula. Now you're right. It's always a good idea when you're mentioning Geula to petition for the ultimate Geula, but that doesn't seem to be relevant to this sugya of Smichas Geula Tefillah. So Bain, Al Rishonim on Mitzar, we don't understand why Ashkivenu is there yet. Then we're not there yet. And certainly we don't understand why Kaddish is wedged in there. And the Rav is going to really ask question after question here, which all of his questions, I think, pretty much touch on the idea that there's some fundamental difference between smichus gula tefillah ba'arvis and smichus gula tefillah in shachris, even though we passing like Rabbi Yochanan and we require smichus gula tefillah in arvis, but it's not the same. It's not a mirror image of smichus gula tefillah in shachris. Now the Rav is going to talk about the word amen, and he's going to show you that at least according to the Rambam Shita, is going to be an amen that wedges between Geula and Tefillah of Arvis, even though we will not recite Amen with regard to Geula and Tefillah of Shachris. So let's see this. This is the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Brachos, and the Rambam codifies the law that whenever you finish a Seder of Brachos, in other words, whenever there's a series of Brachos that form one unit, you recite Amen at the end of the last bracha that closes that unit, even on your own bracha. That's called One Amen Achar Atzmo. We Ashkenazim don't have this too frequently. The only case that comes to mind offhand is the third bracha of Birkas HaMazon. What's the third bracha of Birkas HaMazon? Right. And there we say Amen at the end of the bracha. But the Sfaradim have it left, right, and center. And if, for example, after Ashkivenu, and that reflects the Ram that we're going to see now in Hilchos Brachos, if you have a Sephardic city, you'll open up, you'll see in Eidot HaMizrach that they end up Shomer Esam Yisrael O'ad, Amen.
Right. And Yishtabach too.
Yishtabach, even we have an Amen, no? Or only the Sephardim have it?
No, we don't have
it. We don't have Amen. Oh, okay, so Sephardim have Amen after Yishtabach. And the Rav is going to address that in just 5 seconds from now. But first, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Brachos Halacha Tezayin, the Rambam says that after a bracha like Bonei Yerushalayim and Birkas HaMazon, or the last bracha in Birkas Kriyat Shema, please underline because I didn't do that for you. The two words Shal Arvis, one line up before the end. You see those two words Shal Arvis? Please underline those words. If anybody needs a pen, pass the pen around. And therefore the Rambam says, V'chein, b'sof kol bracha she'isof birchos achronos ona bo amen achar atzmo. So therefore at the end of Ashkivenu we're going to recite amen. But the Rambam qualifies that it's only after Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. What's the obvious question? Yeah, if you're accepting amen and it's not a hefsek, we'll call it a gula richt again, then why not apply the same yardstick shakras? The Rambam is very, very meticulous about emphasizing and limiting. This is circumscribed only to arvis and not shakras. And that's what the Rav asks immediately here. He says you could, there could be a totally different reason, which the Rav suggests here on the top of your page, Lamed Vav, as to why the Rambam leaves out amen in Birchas Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. And that is because, how many brachas do we have after Kriyat Shema?
Shachris is only one.
Only one, so maybe that's not a Seder. You need a minimum of two to create a Seder. So the Rav says, Efshel Afari Zeh B'Shnei Ofan, in the two ways of explaining the difference between Arvis and Shachris. One is to say that Arvis has two brachos after Kriyat Shema, and therefore creates a Seder, which requires me to say Amen. Shachris has only one bracha following Kriyat Shema. There's only Gal Yisrael, and therefore there's no Chiyuv to add the word Amen. That's indeed the understanding of the Kesef Mishnah. But, the Rav says, you could have a different answer, an alternative interpretation of the Rambam, which is not the Kesef Mishnah, and this is the Rav's own interpretation of the Rambam. He says that really, Geula is also, even in Shachris, Gal Yisrael terminates and completes a Seder. And why is that so? Because the Seder HaBrachos is Brachos Lefanea Uliachreha. He gives you as a paradigm the case of Yishtabach, which requires Amen after it, even though it's only one Bracha. But the answer is that Bracha closes the set that began with what? What was the kickoff of Yishtabach? Baruch Sha'amar. Here too, in the case of Birchas Kriyat Shema, the Rav says, Kriyat Shema is sandwiched on both ends with Brachos. There are Brachos Lefanel and one Bracha Lachreah in Shachris. And therefore the Bracha Lachreah in Shachris, Gal Yisrael, completes the set. And then the question arises, why does Ram leave out Amen after Gal Yisrael and Shachris? And according to the second shot, then we're going to have to say the difference between Shachris and Arvis lies in the area of Smichus Gula Tefillah. Meaning, the reason why the Rambam objects to add an Amen at the end of Gal Yisrael of Shachris is because that would create a hefsek between Gula and Tefillah. On the other hand, when it comes to Arvis, the Rambam is not nervous about breaking up the connection, the smichus between Gula and Tefillah. And once again, we're back to square one. What's the difference between Shacharis and Arvis? And all this, again, is within the framework of Rabbi Yochanan, who requires smichus Gula Tefillah shall Arvis. The next question revolves around the fact that there is a requirement to say Amen. In the case of the Shliach Tzibur, who's reciting a bracha, the Tzibur has to recite Amen. This is the Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Tefillah. Let's read the Rambam inside. He says, "Say their Tefillos HaTzibur Kachu, Maschil Parsa Kol Ram, Mehem Onim Amen Achar Kol Bracha U'Bracha." Now please, again, if you could underline those words, Kol Bracha U'Bracha. In other words, when the Tzibur responds to the Shliach Tzibur, it's after every single bracha of Kriyat Shema. Now, if he can recite Kriyat Shema and the brachos on his own, that's fine. That's not the case of Paris HaShema. But in certain cases, he has to be Yotze with the Kriya of the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur, because he doesn't know how to make it himself, how to recite the bracha himself. Now, the Rav points out that, wait a minute, Me'ikar Adin, if I want to be Yotze with your bracha, because I need the bracha, but I'm not able to make it myself for whatever reason, do I have to answer Amen to your bracha?
Yes.
No, the answer is no. That's a common mistake. The truth of the matter is that if I hear your bracha, then I could be Yotze just through Kavana Lotzeis. Again, I have to hear the whole bracha from beginning to end. But you don't need an Anias Amen. And that's the Rambam in the same parak of Hilchos Brachos, but not in Halacha Aleph, but rather in Halacha Yud Aleph. Let's read the Rambam inside. Kol Hashomea Brachim and Abrachos Mitchilas Ve'ad Sofa V'Niskaven Latzeis Bo Yudei Chovaso Yotzaf Al Pishalo Ana Amen. So in other words, if we go back to the Rambam in Halacha Aleph of the same parak, and you ask me why you have to answer Amen, it's not because you need the Amen in order to be Yotze Yochi of Bracha, because the Rambam holds all you have to do is listen. So why does the Rambam emphasize that the Tzibur answers Amen? If it's not Ma'ak, if it's not a prerequisite in being Yotze Dechova, then the Rav suggests it comes under a different halacha, more of a classical universal halacha, which is there in Perek Aleph, halacha Yud Gimel. Let's read that Rambam inside. Kol Shomea Echad Mi Yisrael Mevarech Bracha Mikol Abrachas Kulam Afal Pishalo Shoma Abracha Kulam Yitchasad Sofa V'Af Pishenu Chayev Bosa Bracha Chayev Lanos Amen. So the Rav says that in a case where you don't need the Amen, but you hear someone else's bracha, or for example, you cannot recite the Amen under the halacha being Yotze because you didn't hear the bracha in its complete form, nevertheless, the Rambam says you have to answer Amen. So when I come back to the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Aleph, where the Rambam speaks about Paris HaShema, that the Shliach Tzibur recites the brachas out loud, and the Tzibur should recite Amen, then that Amen comes under this general halacha of Kol Shomea Echad Misro Mevarech. No matter what bracha it is, you hear a bracha, or even part of a bracha, you recite Amen. So now the Rav is very bothered. He says the following. Since the Rambam says that a person has to recite Amen to someone else's bracha, and apparently that in the case of a Shliach Tzibur, and that applies as we emphasize in the Rambam, Achar Kol Brachu Bracha, meaning it includes even Birchas Gol Yisrael. Okay, let me take a little break here for a methodological comment. There's something called Stimas Lashon HaRambam, meaning if the Rambam doesn't qualify, then we assume it's not qualified. The Rambam says that you have to answer when the Shliach Tzibur recites all the brachas of Kriyat Shema, you have to respond Amen to each and every bracha. If the Rambam felt that there was an exception to that rule, namely Gal Yisrael, he should have emphasized that. Apparently, even after Gal Yisrael, you're going to have to respond Amen in order to be Mekayim that Chiyuv of Kol Shomea Echad Misrael Mevarech Bracha Mikol HaBrachos. Therefore, the kiyum of Anias Amen to someone else's bracha apparently applies even after Gal Yisrael, and therefore you have to conclude that Amen is not a hefsek between Gula and Tefillah. And then we should make a kal v'chomer. If I have to respond to Amen to your bracha after Gal Yisrael, and it doesn't constitute a hefsek to break up Gula, Smichus Gula Tefillah, how much more so after my own bracha I should be responding Amen? Because the Rambam's rule of thumb is that whenever you finish a seder brachos, you should respond Amen. And yet the Rambam in Shacharis tells us, by implication at least, that we don't respond Amen. So it's very paradoxical. I will recite Amen after Gal Yisroel when I hear it from the Shatz. But I don't respond Amen when I myself recite the bracha of Gal Yisroel. Apparently, I leave out Amen on my own bracha because it's a hefsek and it breaks up Smichus Gula Tefillah. So what happens if I recite Amen to the Shliach Tzibur's bracha? That likewise should be a hefsek between Gula and Tefillah. And finally, the fifth kasha of the Rav is in the sugya that we learned about Rabbi Yochanan, brachos daf daladam and beis of be requiring smichus gula tefillah. Tosus quotes Rav Amram Gon. Now, this statement of Rav Amram Gon is very, very strange, and the Rav is going to point out that similar kinds of comments are made throughout the Gaonim. You'll see on the next page, Lamed Zayin, he quotes another similar kind of comment in the name of Rav Nitronoi Gaon, in the name of the Rabbanan Savroi, in the Sefer HaParadeis. We're going to see this over and over again. And that is that the Kaddish, remember we were speaking about the Kaddish between Gula and Tefillah, that Kaddish, the Gaonim claim, is a banner. Again, the word banner you won't find in the Tosfos. That's Berzon's word. What I mean by a banner, it's like a flag that's meant to publicize who we paskin like in the machlokes about whether or not you need smichus gula tefillah shel arfis. Let's read it inside. Beseder Rav Amram Gon, meaning in Rav Amram Gon Siddur, Pirish Mashano Amram Kaddish bein gula tefillah shel arfis. Why do we recite a Kaddish in between gula and tefillah at Myriv? Lashmeina, because we have to notify the public. It's like a foghorn. You know, we have to publicize it. By the way, what does that sound like to you? Who is the Rav Amram Gon paskening like in the original machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi? Sounds like he's paskening Rabbi Shimon Levi. Dropped the ball on smichus gula tefillah shel arvis. It just doesn't exist. There's no requirement. Maybe tefillah's b'emtzei tiknu. Now, that's impossible, as the Rav is going to point out on the next page, because nobody paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Everyone, all the poskim except Rabbi Yochanan. Nor does Rav Amram Gon switch around the Seder of Myriv and have Kriyat Shema after Tefillah. He doesn't have such a thing. So again, just underline those words for a moment, so that we'll come back to them. And he says that the reason for the Kaddish after Kriya, after Gal Yisrael of Arvis is Lashmi'inon. What does Lashmi'inon mean? To publicize, to notify everyone, to lo be'inon mismach gula tefillah, in the case of Arvis. And now he gives an explanation why. Why don't we require smichus gula tefillah shel Arvis? The Gemara gave the explanation because ikar gula is by day and not by night. And lo and behold, Rav Amram Gon has a whole different approach, and he says because tefillahs Arvis reshus. No doubt that's going to bother our minds. And then he says, "V'itema kasha hilchasa hilchasa, the kaimel on tefillas arvis v'shus v'ahacha paskinin k'Rabbi Yochanan." He himself is aware of the problem. On the one hand, tefillas smichus gula tefillas contingent on the fact that tefillas arvis is a chova, and we paskin tefillas arvis v'shus. On the other hand, we're going to maintain that luck like Rabbi Yochanan, that we're going to say Kriyat Shema and then afterwards daven Ma'ariv because we want to gain the kiyum of smichus gula tefillah, but tefillas arvis v'shus. And he asks his question, Tzarech Lomar, and he answers the following. He says, "Afilu isover Rabbi Yochanan kirav." I have to grant you that Rabbi Yochanan adopts the position of Rab. The Yomer Tefilas Arvis Rishusu. Nevertheless, mikol makom achayv lemismach. In other words, he's not obligated to recite the prayers of Meir because it's a Rishus. But if he goes and he does so, then he's obligated to be masmich and create a smichus gula tefila. Im ken gam lanu yesh lismo. Therefore, we too should be Somech. You just finished telling me that the reason why we said a Kaddish is to Lashmina, that we don't need Smichus Gula Tefillah. It's unbelievable. Rav Amram Gon, it's like this. It's a parody of it's like a comedy over here. So, the Rav uses the term Teunim Biur at the bottom. You know, that's like a, how should I say, Veloshin Amata, we call it in Hebrew. You know, it's like a, what do you say? An understatement, right? You know, he doesn't want to poke. He doesn't. He says, first of all, if he paskins against Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, then he should begin his tefillah at night with Kriyat Shema. I'm sorry, with tefillah, and then follow it with Kriyat Shema. He should change the whole order. And that we don't find. Correct? In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, tefillah comes first and then Kriyat Shema. That we don't find. And moreover, the Rav Amram Goim himself says we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. And if you look on page Lamed Zion, he says that we never found, on the second line, we never found anyone in the Gaonim or the Rishonim who paskins Tfilos Bamsa Tiknum, that in Arvis we should be reciting Tfilah first and Kriyat Shema second. So we definitely paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. That's unquestionable. So then why did we need this Hachraza? That's an interesting word he uses. You know, we find Hachraza in Hashavas HaVeda, a public declaration, to say that we don't need Smichus Gula Tfilah. Why? Because Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Furthermore, what does this mean that we publicize? Let's say there's a machlokes between two Amoraim in this case. Do we have to publicize that the halach is like one man the Yomer against the other? Where do we find such a thing, he says? In other words, I think what the Rav is implying is, in the worst case scenario, let's say you're ignorant of the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and you think mistakenly we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore you require smichus gula tefillah. What's the big deal? What do you lose by it? What's the downside here? So the fellow's going to be machmer to be... Again, we're holding now that first comes Kriyat Shema and then comes tefillah. So what's the worst case scenario if the man thinks that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and you need smichus gula tefillah? Well, what do you lose by that? He gives an example. Let's say you have two Amoraim arguing. So do we have to go out and publicly demonstrate that we paskin like one Mandiyomer against the other? And he says the same kind of approach that we saw in Rav Amram Goim, we find in Rav Nitranai Goim, who writes that according to Shmuel, halacha kedivrei ha'omer chova basar shomer amo yisrael la'ad samchinen tefillah, ule Rav Amar Rishus paskinen bekadish lememra desayminon. That Rav, who holds that tefillah service is Rishus, therefore we add this kadish. lememra means lohodia, you know, to spread the word, desayminon, that we've concluded our chiyuv of Kriyat Shema, and that's it. We can really go home. And the kaddish is sort of like the bookend at the end that says finito. You know, you remember the old Charlie Chaplin movies, you know, the end, you know. So what's that all about? And it's the same idea, once again, that the kaddish is playing a role to demonstrate that we finished our chiyuv as far as davening is concerned. We recited Kriyat Shema with the brachos, and now we can basically go home. Ella, what we want to opt voluntarily to David Meiriv Tefillas Arvis Rishus Vakasha, but don't get mistaken about the idea that the Arvis that you're going to daven is the completion of the Kriyat Shema. It's one entity of Smichus Gula Tefillah. That's a mistake because we hold Tefillas Arvis Rishus. We pass like Rav against Shmuel, and therefore we have to recite the Kaddish to make this public demonstration. What's that all about? This public demonstration. Now the plot goes thicker when we look at the Rabbanan Savroi, who came, by the way, before the Gaonim, so we're going back in history, because there's a whole bunch of psukim that they instituted to recite after Hashkivenu, and that's called Baruch Hashem Liolam, Amen V'Amen. I don't know that too well because it's been a long time. I'm very rusty on that bracha, but those who say it, and it gives me a little extra time to catch up for Tfilas Lachash B'tzibur. And Tosis in Brachos suggests the following. He says, V'anu sha'omrim yirei neinu, which is basically an opportunity to for those who are slow or late comers to catch up, right, so that they don't have to travel, walk out at night alone. U'psukim acherim achash kivenu nira. Again, the problem is, what about Smichus Gula Tfilah? So Tosis takes the position, hol v'tkinu l'rabbanan havile ki gula richta. Once again, we're back to gula richta. So the gula keeps extending itself. I mean, that's very good news. But first it extends itself to swallow up Hashkivenu. Now it is extending itself to include Baruch Hashem Liolam and all those psukim. And once the takana was made, in this case by the Rabbanan Savroi, so that, you know, his friend will catch up and all that, therefore those psukim are all part of Gula Richta. Now it's interesting that Tosus expands on his understanding of this section called Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen. He says if you count the psukim, there are 18 Azkaros, connected the 18 Brachos of Shmona Esrei, and it has a Chasima of Yirui Neinu. So again, that's Tosus in Masechta Brachos. There's another Tosus in Masechta Megillah that says exactly the opposite. Tosus in Megillah on Daf Chaf Gimel writes, "Kemoshe Tiknu Lo and Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen V'Yirei Neinu Achash Kivenu Shelo Ayu Omri B'Mei Atanoim V'Heim Tiknu." Why did they establish this Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen after the Amoraim period? Lahodia Shetfilas Arvis Rishus. Once again, we're waving the flag that Tfilas Arvis Rishus. As far as we're concerned, everything ended. We said Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen. We told everyone to go home. There's no requirement of tefillah. Rashi says in Sefer HaParadeis, Lefisha Shani Tefillas Arvis Rishus, Lachein Osifu Rashi Yeshivas Bebavel Baruch Achas Yirei Nevi Yisprach Libenu V'chosei Melech V'shuv. Acharei Apsukim Lodia Shetfilas Arvis Rishus. And now Rashi adds the few words that we saw already in Rav Amram going and Rav Nitzchernoi going, V'ein tzarech lismol gula l'tfila. Once we pass in tefillas arvis rishus, which we don't even need the Shmon Esrei, then certainly it doesn't make sense to require smichus gula tfila. So the Rav in the last paragraph on page Lamed Zion summarizes by comparison the two tosis, in one in Brachas and one in Megillah, and points out that they're diametrically opposed one to the other. In terms of the Takana, Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen, according to Tosin Brachos, this Bracha constitutes Geula Arichta, and therefore it doesn't undermine the Chiyuv of Smichus Geula Tefila. And this Takana of Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen has nothing to do, no relationship whatsoever, to the question of Tefilas Arvis Rishus. Therefore, even according to Shmuel, who paskins Tefilas Arvis Chova, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, who requires Smichus Gula Tefillin Arvis, we still can recite these brachas because they are no different than Ashkivenu. They have the same status of Gula Richta. In contrast, the Tosfos in Megillah takes the exact opposite approach. And he says, Tosfos in Megillah, that this bracha of Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen is not a continuation of Ashkivenu. It doesn't belong to Gula at all. On the contrary, they put it there and they placed it in there as a wedge to demonstrate and to notify the people, the public, that there is no requirement of Smichus Gula Tefillah. And the Rav says he found the same thing in Rav Shalom Gaon. Is it Rav Shalom Sar Gaon? I think it should be. Who says, Kevin Alocha Kirav, Deon Tfil Savas Rishus, Tikun Achronim Lomaracha Shomeriza, Psukim Sheshbem Shmira, Veshevach, Lomarach Reim Brocha, Umafsik Bekadish. All this business from, we'll call it post Hashkivenu and on, is all to be Messiah is Tfila and tell the public, anyone who has to go, it's time to go. We really finished the service. Finito.
So they never used to say Aleinu? Is that what we're saying according to both Yeshitas here?
Aleinu is not an issue here because Aleinu only applies after tefillah. If we're holding tefillah Arvis Rishus, then there's no room for Aleinu. Now Kriyat Shema doesn't require Aleinu. Aleinu is what you call a Siyum tefillah.
But according to this, it sounds like the Baruch Hashem Olam is a Siyum tefillah.
No, not at all. I would say the Baruch Hashem Olam is a Siyum of Kriyat Shema, telling you that we don't need tefillah because tefillah Arvis Rishus.
When was Aleinu added in Marav then? It sounds like it was added in
Marav. Oh, wait a minute. Now you have a different question. You have a question of our structure, because we seem to follow the Tosus and Brachos, that on the contrary, we require the Smichus Gula Tefillah. I mean, again, all this is going to be clarified over the next 40 pages in this article. But assuming that we pass like Tosfos and Brachos, and we need Smichus Gula Tefillah, even though Tefillah Arvis Rishus, but maybe it has to do with the fact that we accepted Tefillah Arvis as a Chov. Again, I don't want to rob the show here. We have plenty of ways to go. Then our tefillah service ends with Shmon Esrei, and therefore we need Aleinu afterwards. But you're right. In the original formulation of tefillah Arvis Rishus, and we told everyone to go home after Kriyat Shema, and we added these psukim as a reminder that we've ended at this point, then Einu Chinami, I don't think there would have been Aleinu if that's your issue. Now we're turning to page Lamed Ches. The Rav says he doesn't understand either of these two Tosfosin. If you take the Tosfosin Brachos, that's confusing because we don't understand how Gula Richta should apply to all these Psukim of Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. And even if we assume that somehow this Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, all these Psukim, is somehow related to Ashkivenu, but again, that we have to add these things, that's a very strange phenomenon. In Ashkivenu, it was hard enough to get by with Smichus Gula Tefillah by saying Gula Richtadami. How are we going to apply that in the case of Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen? On the other hand, the Shita of Tosfos and Megillah and Rashi and Sar Shalom Goen are also very difficult because they assume that Tefillah Saris is Rishus, and yet we accept it upon ourselves as a Chovah, as I indicated a few minutes ago. So therefore, if that be the case, why do you want to emphasize that Tefillah Saris is Rishus and go out public with that and use Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen as your vehicle to publicize that Tefillah Saris is Rishus? That seems to be counterproductive because we've accepted upon ourselves Tefillah Saris as a Chovah. And therefore he quotes Rav Shrira Gaon. Again, the Rav is in this is a very unique kind of piece where the Rav is quoting one Gaon after the other. So Rav Shrira Gaon says, Umay de mitzvah. What does it mean de mitzvah? Nehi, need kitfilas arvis, vitafsva litfilas arvis chizuk, came in the chol yisrael nehi yibah. This is all in Aramaic here. Rubayan lo yadinan dirishus nehi, umandalo matzile kemporates gether domi. So somehow, which I don't understand, word for word, Rav Shrira Gaon, we'll have to come back and take that apart, but he's assuming that despite the fact that Tefillas Arvis is Rishus, they accepted it upon themselves as a Chova, and someone who doesn't pray Tefillas Arvis is considered a Poreitz Geder, and they added a Chizuk in order to strengthen the significance of Tefillas Arvis Chova. I don't mean Chova literally, but I mean Kibul Aleim Kechova. So the Rav asks, according to Rav Shrira Gaon, Lama lanu lahachriz barabim kibisha rotza latzeis v'lo lispal shmon eser ishus biyado. If according to Rav Shrira Gaon, we were looking for ways of strengthening the Kabbalah that we accepted upon ourselves to pray Arvis, and to emphasize that someone who deletes Arvis is a poritz geder, why then do the Gaonim insist that we have to wave this flag of Tefillas Arvis Rishus by adding Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen? It seems counterproductive. Okay, Ad Kan Kushos Marenu V'Rabenu. So we have five questions, and they all basically revolve around the same thing, that Tefillas Arvis and Smichus Gula Tefillah of Arvis is fundamentally different than Smichus Gula Tefillah of Shachris. And also the additional question of how Ashkivenu, and maybe even Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, qualify as Geula Richta. So now you would think that at this point the Rav would answer his five questions, but it doesn't work that way. We don't get that lucky. But rather now, the Rav starts analyzing the nature of Tefillah. And what we're about to embark upon now, I don't know how much we'll finish tonight, is a very exciting insight, a brilliant revolution into what the nature of Tefillah is. And hold on to your seats here, because the Rav is going to insist, A, that Tefillah is different than any other mitzvah that we have. And that B, the halacha that applies universally to all mitzvahs, that we should do and perform a mitzvah out of a sense of obligation. Right? Hinni mukhanu mezuma, whether you say that or not is irrelevant. But l'kayim mitzvahs haseh shetzivanu, or the bracha that we say, asher kishonu mitzvahs shetzivanu, that concept of implementing the will of God out of a sense of obligation is totally antithetical to tefillah. Wild. The Rav says the following. Let's check out a sugya in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. And we're interested in Rav Yochanan's statement in Brachos Chaf Aleph. He says the following. Valvai sheyispalel adam kol hayom kulo. If only a person would daven the entire day. So Tosfos quotes the Ri, that we only accept Rabbi Yochanan in a very limited sense. We don't accept Rabbi Yochanan hook, line, and sinker, that a person should daven, daven, and daven, and let him recite as many Shmon Esrei as he feels compelled to do or interested in doing. Oh no. there are certain requirements and conditions that have to be met before you can implement Rabbi Yochanan's statement, V'alavai shiyispal adam kol yom kulo. First qualification, dafka b'safek yispal. Oh, this is a whole other story. I don't remember whether I daven Ma'ariv tonight. Aval vade yispal, if I know I daven with shakras mincha Ma'ariv. Lo, I'm not allowed to enjoy the license and implement the ruling, the dictum of Rav Yochanan, v'alavai shiyispal adam kol yom kulo. That's interesting. Teida, how does Tosis know this? Because I don't want to say that Rabbi Yochanan rejects the statement of Yehuda Meshmuel, which comes later on in this same sugya, that if a person remembers, he reminds himself halfway through his davening, oh no, I davened already, that he's not allowed to finish his tefillah. Do you know what I'm talking about? What do you do if you're in the middle of Shacharis and you remind yourself, oh, I davened already? So what do? Do you finish up Shmoneh Esrei? You drop the ball right there in the middle. Stop. You stop right in the middle. But I don't understand if Rabbi Yochanan is saying V'alavai shiyispal adam kol yom kulo, why should he terminate his Shmoneh Esrei? Why not continue? Adarabba, Rabbi Yochanan is recommending, is encouraging us to add another Shmoneh Esrei and another Shmoneh Esrei. So why should I stop halfway?
But there, can't you say that you can't combine a tefillah and a davening with the real tefillah? So maybe
that is correct, Michael. Okay. But Tosis goes a step further. If let's say I want to get up and daven a tefillah nedava, right? I know I davened three times. Can I just get up and daven another time? So Tosis insists that no, I can't do so. What do I have to do? I have to be mechadish davar b'tefillah. What does that mean, mechadish davar? That itself is a machlokas, but let's take the extreme shita that each one of the middle brachos, the 13 middle brachos, you have to add something that's not in the standardized text. Otherwise, you can't recite a tefillas nedava. And the Gemara says, that's what Tosis, now the Rav is amplifying the Tosis based on another Gemara that says that what happens if you walk into a shul and you find the tefillah is already davening and you want to link up with the tefillah hatzibur because you davened at home in private, so you want to gain this extra dimension of tefillah b'tzibur. So the Gemara says, im yachol echadish b'davar, if you can change your Shmoneh Esrei, enhance it, that means add to the standardized formula of Shmoneh Esrei, then and only then are you allowed to gain this opportunity of davening together with the tzibur. If not, if you don't have the ability to be mechadish b'davar, then don't even dream of it. Don't go adding another tefillah. So you see, point after point, that the idea of Rabbi Yochanan is not simply to be applied literally as you see it at the first glance, the superficial understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, halavai, just continue davening and davening and davening. But on the other hand, in the case of Suffolk tefillah, you don't know if you daven or not, then we'll allow you to daven. If you're midway through a tefillah that you started as a tefillah schovah, you can't add a tefillah rishus. Even if you want to daven a tefillah nedav from the start, you can only do so on the condition that you're mechadish b'davar. You want to gain the tefillah b'tzibur because you only daven the tefillah b'yachid, you can only do so if you can be mechadish b'davar. And basically, the Rav summarizes four rules here that we derive from this sugya. And that's at the end of your middle paragraph on page Lamed Ches. Number one, there is such a concept called Tefillas Nedava. But number two, you're not allowed to avail yourself of that possibility of Tefillas Nedava unless you can add something to your Shmoneh Esrei. However, if you're a Suffolk situation, you don't know if you davened, you didn't daven, you're allowed to daven without being Mechadish Badavar. And if you started davening, that's point number four, because you thought that it was a Chova, and now you remind yourself midway that you've already davened, then you cannot complete your Shmoneh Esrei because there's no joining and integrating a tefillah which is half chova and half nedava. So the Rav now wants to focus our attention on the third point, namely the case of Suffolk Ispalil, Suffolk Lois Palil. In that case, you don't have to be mechadish badavar. And the Rav says that the fact that you can only daven an extra tefillah because you're not sure whether you davened or not, meaning basically on the tzad that you didn't daven that tefillah, that's why we're allowing you to daven. So how many tefillahs are there per day? let's say we recabble on ourselves arvis as a chovas. How many tefillos do we have per day? Three. So I got to get to the magic number three. And I'm not sure. Did I daven the third Shmoneh Esrei or did I not? So we're going to allow you to say the Shmoneh Esrei, but because we believe that maybe, just maybe, that's the third Shmoneh Esrei you need for the day. So instead of saying Alevai Shispal Adam Kol Yom Kulo, what we're saying is that the number three is the maximum, it's the ceiling of how many tefillos you should daven. And the Rav amplifies this, he proves this from a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph. We're really getting a very wide taste of Masechet Brachos tonight. The Gemara says, Yachol Yispal Adam Kol Yom Kulo. Could it be that a person can daven one tefillah after the other, tefillah after the other one? Kvar Mefurash Al Yedei Daniel. And the Gemara proves from a Pasuk in Tanakh, in the sixth parak of Daniel, Vizimnin Tlosa. How many times are you allowed to daven? Three. Three and only three. Now, I don't know about you, I'm just adding my own feeling. I thought that the big chiddush here in this Gemara is that you can't daven a fourth Shmoneh Esrei. That's what I thought the Rav was going to get all excited about. But the Rav takes it in the exact opposite direction. He says, was there a Havamina that you could daven a fourth tefillah? That we need the Pasuk in Daniel to tell me Ad Kan, three and not more than three? Meaning, if not for this Pasuk and this Drasha, you would have recommended the possibility of davening a fourth tefillah? Says the Rav, what do you mean a fourth tefillah? You have no obligation to daven a fourth tefillah. Ah, but call the fourth tefillah what?
An Adava.
An Adava, maybe it's optional. The Rav says there's no such thing as an optional bracha. So, can I decide right now, here and now, that I want to recite Hallel? Or I want to recite Kiddush. Why not? Why wait till tomorrow night when I can do it tonight? Or Rosh Chodesh is what? Is Sunday and Monday? I would love to give you one. Where is it? In here. If somebody could just... Yeah. So, if I want to say Kiddush right now, on a Thursday night, or if I want to recite Birkas HaMazon, can I do so? Can I voluntarily bench now at this moment in time? I didn't need to think.
Obviously not.
What would be the violation? What would be the problem? It would be Brach Levatola. So, what saves me and protects me from a Brach Levatola? The Chiyuv. Excellent. The Chiyuv. If there's no Chiyuv, then it's a Brach Levatola. So the Rav says, wait a minute. What's the Havamina that a person can daven a fourth Shmoneh Esrei? Anytime you add beyond the three which you're required to recite, it becomes a Brach Levatola. Take a look inside. He says it so beautifully. It's on the bottom of Lamed Ches. He says, Amai Tzrichim, you may want to underline this, Amai Tzrichim L'Gzeres HaKosim Yucheres. I'll help you out with it in just a minute. Let me finish. Amai Tzrichim L'Gzeres HaKosim Yucheres. She'ein Mispalim El Shalosh Pa'amim. That you could only recite three tefillos, and if not for the Gzeres HaKos of the Drosh from Daniel, I would have entertained the possibility of adding a fourth tefillah. Halo Eino Chayev L'Spal Yoser. We know that there's no more of a Chiyuv beyond the three, and therefore Nimtzu B'Berachosa Brachos L'Vatola. In Yispal Tefillah No Sefes. Should we have a Pasuk to teach me, says the Rav, moving on to Lamentes, that a person's not allowed to bench twice, or he can't recite Kiddush twice, or he can't recite Hallel another extra time? It's absolutely crystal clear, and there's no need to prove, that in such a case, once he's already fulfilled his obligation, he's enjoined from reciting an extra bracha as a voluntary bracha. That would be a bracha levatolo, a bracha shenit tzricha.
But it's in the Dover. I don't understand. I
mean, the Rav is trying to figure out what, you know, you talk about a tefillah nedava.
He's not arguing that we have this. He's trying to understand
he's asking the following. Listen, Joe. If you have a tefillah nedava, why can't there be a birchas hamazon nedava? I'm in the mood to thank Hashem twice.
There's not a reshus for her, that kind of thing.
But why not? Why not?
It's just.
But the Rav wants to go beyond just. The Rav wants to understand. Tell me, is there something unique about Shmoneh Esrei, about tefillah, that allows me, at least in the Havamina, to go beyond the Chiyuv and just keep saying the bracha over and over again. Basically, I'm repeating the same brachos.
But if it's connected karbanos, can you not say just like you have a korban and dava, you can have a tefillah and dava? Because it's connected karbanos, and for karbanos you have a dava. In other words, it's not,
yeah, but you see, keep in mind, it gets complicated here, Michael, because to create a tefillah and a dava, we need to fulfill certain conditions. You remember achidish bar dava and so forth. We're not talking about tefillah and a dava now with achidish bar dava, right? The Gemara in Brachos Chaf Aleph, I'm sorry, Lamed Aleph, which derives from Daniel that you cannot pray a fourth prayer, is not talking about a tefillah and a dava. With tefillah and a dava has its own technical rules and it's got to be structured in a certain way. We're just talking about repeating Shmon Esrei. So the Rav says, what about repeating Shmon Esrei? Why would you be allowed to repeat Shmon Esrei? Why isn't it a bracha levatola? In other words, let's say what the Rav is saying in Lomdashit terms, in Brisket terminology, saying that the heter for a bracha, because otherwise it's a bracha levatola, is the Chovas Gavra. That's more or less only what you were saying, no? That the heter for a bracha, otherwise it's a bracha levatola, is the Chovas Gavra. Absent the Chovas Gavra, then it's a bracha levatola. Why not assume the same rule should apply to the 13 brachas of Shmon Esrei? I mean, the 13 in the middle brachas. Mm-hmm. And Kol Shekein the other six.
Again, it's a rishus. As opposed to every other bracha which you've talked about, food and all of that, you need rishus for that kind of thing. We're not talking about that kind of inyan. All of the brachas which you're dealing with regards to tefillah,
yeah,
are have their own... It's a function of a give and take with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, it's not like it's a heter. It's that you're looking for a heter, that you need that rishus in order to do it.
What, in other cases or in this case of tefillah?
With regards to tefillah.
Thank you.
With regards to tefillah.
That with regard to tefillah, you don't need rishus, or you do need rishus?
You don't. It's not a question of needing rishus in order to so that if you don't need the rishus, you can't say the bracha. It seems like it's a different kind of tefillah. Tefillah is a give and take with Hashem.
If I recite Hallel, that's also a give and take with Hashem. And if I recite Birkas HaMazon, it's also give and take. Ella what? I was already Yotzei Machiv, so to say it again, and I don't need it, is a Bracha Shein Tzricha. Why not say I've already fulfilled my Chiv?
But maybe it's different. It just feels like a lev. So maybe it's supposed to be spontaneous.
Again, tefillah shebelev, you're talking about doraisa, but now we're not talking about doraisa. Right. You know, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah differentiates between tefillah doraisa, tefillah drabbanan. Tefillah drabbanan is in a certain formula with certain brachas.
No, but what I'm saying is because it's supposed to come from the lab, maybe it shouldn't come from a chiyuv. Maybe it's different than
Okay. Now you're very hot. So let's take a look at the way the Rav formulates it. He really goes to town with this kasha. And he is absolutely convinced that you have 612 mitzvahs on one hand and one mitzvah on the other hand, and they are fundamentally different. The gap that separates them is Rachok Mizrach Vimarov, says the Rav. And I underlined it. You have it there on the third line down from the top? Ki biyachas l'tfila din zeh ki yitzia yedei chova mafkas chaloshem bracha v'heter amirasa. With regard to tfila, the general universal rule that once you've fulfilled your obligation, you can no longer create an entity, a halachic entity called a bracha, b'chal shma, or have any permission or license to recite that bracha, that rule, again, that universal rule, eino kayim klal b'yachas l'tefillah, doesn't apply at all with regard to tefillah. But rather, cheftze shel tefillah behechsher yudches pirchoseha, Yochol lehitztayer gam kshagavra kvar mila chavoso. I call this spontaneous generation. In other words, the bracha of tefillah generates itself spontaneously and creates an entity called a chefta shel tefillah, a halachic entity of a bracha that's valid, that's meaningful, that registers on the Richter scale, even gam kshagavra kvar mila chavoso, even though one has already fulfilled his obligation. In other words, with regard to any other mitzvah, the bracha is only meaningful insofar as it's a chiyuv gavra, but with regard to the brachas of tefillah, those brachas take on a meaning without the chiyuv gavra. Ein chaloshem tefillah tluya b'chovas ha-gavra. The status of a bracha and a tefillah is not dependent upon the obligation incumbent upon the person. And why is that so, says the Rav? Because of the concept which is projected by the Mishnah in Brachos Chav Chesam and Beis, and further emphasized in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel. And the Mishnah in Brachos Chav Tes says, records the statement of Rabbi Lazar, Ha'ose tfiloso keva ein tfiloso tachnunim. If a person changes his tefillah into one of keva, we'll have to see what the word keva means. Rashi's going to clarify this. Then his tefillah is not tachnunim. In other words, keva is antithetical to tefillah. My keva, the Gemara says, in explaining this statement of Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Yaakov bar Ida, Amar Rav Yoshia, kol she tefillah, so dom alav kemasoi. What does Rashi say? Hainu Lashon Keva. What does Keva mean? You might want to underline these words. Chok Kavua Olai L'Spalel. What does all that mean? If you collapse those four words into one word, what does it mean? Chok Kavua Olai L'Spalel. Chova. He says, Keva means Chova. Ha'osa Tfilosa Keva means Osa Tfilosa Chova. So if a person makes the declaration, it doesn't mean he has to verbalize it, but in his mind, you know why I have to daven? Because I'm a very pious Jew, and I observe the law of God, and then the commander-in-chief told me I have to daven, that's why I'm going to daven. That's called Oset Filoso Keva, which is, by the way, in other mitzvahs, the paradigm of an Oved Hashem. In other words, you're never motivated to do a mitzvah because you like the mitzvah, it's kishmak, it tastes good, it's a bowl of cherries. I mean, that's fine for an NCSY convention. But that's not what mitzvahs are all about. A mitzvah should be performed because of a chova. Because of my sense of obligation. Not even because I want to be rewarded for it. But because I was obligated, I was commanded to do so. In the case of tefillah, that attitude undermines tefillah. Because tefillah can't be keva, it's got to be tachnunim. So the Rav asked the following question, Tzarech lahavin, madua lo yichavin, lotzei si dechova, why does Rav Loz in the Mishnah completely reject the concept that I'm going to daven because I'm obligated to daven? He says because hameniya, the motivation for the kiyum of other mitzvahs is correct, is the feeling of obligation. And that's what the halacha teaches us over and over again. That's why we recite a bracha before every mitzvah, shekinshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu. V'tzivanu means I'm commanded. And I'm fulfilling, I'm implementing this action because of the command. So my awareness of the command and the obligation that's incumbent upon me, that is what motivates me to perform a mitzvah, as Rashi beautifully clarifies this and eloquently expresses it in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches in the Sugya Mitzvah Lehenos Nitnu. Says Rashi, the mitzvah is not given Leos Kiyumim Lehem Hano, but rather what motivates me to do a mitzvah, not the Hano that I benefit from it, but rather La'ol Al Savareim Nitnu. It's a weight and a burden placed upon my shoulder, that's why I perform the mitzvah. Why not apply the same yardstick that we apply to all mitzvahs, to tefillah as well? And let me get up and daven as a response to the demand and the command of my Creator. Says the Rav, Muchach mizeh, we have to derive the following conclusion. She tefillah shona. Tefillah is different from all other mitzvahs. V'eina tzricha l'skayim l'shem yitzias yidei chova. I don't know why he adds the word tzricha. If you ask me, I would make an editorial comment here and I would leave out the word tzricha, because it's not ena tzricha l'skayim, but aser l'skayim. That's totally objectionable. And we reject the idea of being mekayim tefillah for the purpose of yitziah yidei chova. And therefore the Mishnah in Avos, which is a different expression of the same idea that we saw in Brachos Chav Ches in the Mishnah of Rabbi Lazar, but this time in the case of Rabbi Shimon, Hevi Zoyer B'Kriyat Shema U'B'Tfila. You should be careful about Kriyat Shema and Tfila. Now watch this. Look how he conspicuously in the next part of the Mishnah drops Kriyat Shema. And he writes, U'Kshata Mispalel Al Tas Tfiloscha Keva El Arachmin V'Tachnunin L'Fnei HaMokom. So the Rav points out that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah is very careful. He talks about being careful about both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. Then when he gets to the point of Altas X Keva, the X is Tefillah Keva, he drops the ball on Kriyat Shema, because as far as Kriyat Shema is, do make it into a Keva. You recite Kriyat Shema and you makabal Malchus Shemayim because of the fact that you're responsible and you're commanded to do so. It's out of a sense of obligation. But in the case of Tefillah, you don't daven out of a sense of obligation. Because if you pray out of a sense of obligation in order to be Yotzi Yochiyuv, then you've converted your Tefillah into a Keva. So in a sense, Asei Mitzvah Zu L'Shum Kiyum Chovascha, that applies to all mitzvahs, including Kriyat Shema, but it doesn't apply to Tefillah. Now, I just want to point out to you, there's a very important footnote, which the Rav added. It's number 5 on the bottom. You see that? I don't see where it is in the text right now. Did we pass it in the text and I just missed it? But anyway, it's a very important footnote in which the Rav refers you to Reb Chaim, Perek Dal Milchus Tefillah. That's the famous Reb Chaim of Kavana B'Tefillah. And Reb Chaim assumes in that piece that the halacha of Kavana Lotzeis, which is like your typical classical mitzvah srichus kavana kind of halacha, applies to tefillah as well. And the Rav adds the following 5 words, which I've never seen before. He says, "Ach ein dvarav muvanim li." Do you see that? Mm-hmm. I mean, for the Rav to say that about his grandfather is a bit of a curveball. You know, that the Rav would say, "I don't really follow what Reb Chaim is saying." In other words, the Rav didn't understand how to reconcile Reb Chaim's statement with all the sources that we saw above, especially the Mishnah in Brachos Chavtes and the Mishnah in Avos Perek Beis, that say that the idea, that state, that declare that the idea of Keva is antithetical to Tefillah. And we're going to see in the next part of this piece, especially on Daf Mem, a fantastic presentation of the Rav as to why the halacha of mitzvah trichas kavana, meaning kavana latzeis, does not apply to tefillah, which is pretty radical. And moreover, he's going to attempt at explaining why women, like men, are obligated in tefillah. Because if you assume, for example, at least in tefillah d'rabbanan 3 times a day, tefillah is a classical mitzvah seishasman grama, because he can't fulfill chakras in the afternoon or mincha at night. So why would women be obligated in that mitzvah? But the answer is because in the case of another mitzvah, any other mitzvah, where the Chovas Gavra generates the mitzvah, so if it's a Zman Groma, then the Chovas Gavra is not generated as far as women are concerned. But in the case of Tefillah, with this spontaneous combustion that we spoke about, where the Cheftah Shel Tefillah and Bracha emerges on its own, the wellspring is from within, not from without, not because I'm commanded, but because I need to daven, then there's no difference between women and men. And therefore the concept of Zman Groma is totally irrelevant. But Amir Tzashem, this I want to leave for next time, because I think it deserves, you know, when we're fresh and energetic, early in the evening, a new thrust of energy, that we should really analyze this, because this piece, again, on Daf Lamed Tes, but especially on Daf Mem, made a tremendous impact on my understanding of Lumdus. And I have a number of comments on the side. I don't know if it came out in the photocopy, because this is a fantastical piece. So what I do want you to take home with you is this idea that the Rav claims, which again, it's as fresh as plucking a flower, again, in Holland maybe, but I don't know, or maybe in Florida, I don't know, at this time of the year. But a fresh flower, it's unbelievable. I mean, the Rav said this Yahrzeit Shir probably about a half a century ago. And yet it's just like, as we say in Yiddish, fresh gebacht, like it's baked, it's bread coming out of the oven. Because to maintain that the halacha of mitzvah srichas kavana and the idea of being motivated to do a mitzvah and implement it because of the sense of obligation that applies to every mitzvah in the Torah, doesn't apply to one mitzvah, to take tefillah out of the bag, I mean, that's really a revolution of sorts. And I'm convinced that all the other sources that the Rav quoted here were interpreted in different ways and seen in a different perspective by everyone until the Rav came. And we're going to have to sit here as the jury and decide whether we buy into this.
Wait, we're talking about all tefillah?
No, Shmon Esrei we're talking about. Yeah, just Shmon Esrei. Okay, then, thank you very much.